Good evening. This is Joe Hainline of the WJR News staff about to present in the public interest a transcribed program of the highlights of this morning's hearing before the House Un-American Activities Committee into the extent of communist influence in Michigan. Here are Chairman John Wood's opening remarks.
Let the record show that the following members of the subcommittee are present. This is Jackson, Potter, and Wood, constituting the majority of the subcommittee. I'd like to make this little announcement at this time. The subcommittee has just had an executive conference in which it has been determined that it will be impossible during the remainder of this week for this subcommittee to finish the work that is already outlined by the committee staff. During this week, and it is the purpose of the subcommittee to recommend to the full committee upon our return to Washington that a subcommittee be sent back to the Detroit area at some later date, preferably during the week of the 10th of March, for the purpose of finishing the hearing of the witnesses that are already under subpoena for their appearance before this committee. Are you ready now to go forward?
Yes, sir. I've called Mr. Stanley Nowak.
Stanley Nowak, however, was not there. His attorney, nationally known Communist Party lawyer George Crockett, Jr., told the committee that the former state senator was ill at home. Nowak has been waiting in the courtroom several days this week to be called as a witness. Crockett explained, however, that today he was at home running a fever. Coleman Young was present, though. He spoke readily of his employment record, which included jobs with Ford, the Veterans Administration, the Post Office Department, and the Wayne County CIO Council, and more lately as an executive of the National Negro Labor Council. Counsel Taverner politely explained the committee's position.
Mr. Young, I want to state to you, in advance of questioning you, that the investigators of the committee have not produced or presented any evidence of Communist Party membership on your part. The purpose in asking you to come here is to inquire into the activities of some of the organizations with which you have been connected, to see to what extent, if any, the committee should be interested in them from the standpoint of its investigation of communism. Now, you mentioned...
Well, Mr. Taverner, I'd like to say this. First of all, I have understood from the off-pronouncements of this committee and yourself that this is a forum. You call it the highest forum in the country, being that of the Congress of the United States. I've been subpoenaed here. I did not come by my own choice.
I understand.
I can only hope that in being interviewed and in being asked questions, I will be allowed to react fully to those questions and not be expected to act only in such a manner as this committee might desire me to act. In other words, I might have answers that you might not like. You call me here to testify. I'm prepared to testify. But I would like to know from you that I would have the right to express myself.
I would have no right to object to your answer if it is in response, if it is responsive
respond
to my
to
question.
Question.
If it is responsive to my respond. Question. But I desire to ask you the question which I have asked other witnesses. Are you now a member of the Communist Party?
I refuse to answer that question because, relying upon my rights under the Fifth Amendment and in recognition of the fact that an answer to such a question before such a committee would be, in my opinion, a violation of my rights under the First Amendment, which provides for freedom of speech, as I understand it, and for sanctity and privacy of political belief and association. And further, since I have no purpose of being here as a stool pigeon, I am not prepared to give information on my associates or my political thoughts.
Now, have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
For the same reason, I refuse to answer that question.
You've told us that you were the executive secretary of the National Negro Congress.
That word is Negro.
Negro Labor Congress.
You said Nigra.
I didn't.
I think you're mistaken.
Well, I hope you'll speak more clearly.
I'll appreciate it if you will not argue with counsel.
It's not my purpose to argue.
The word,
as a Negro, I resent the slurring of the name of my race. In some sections of the country,
you have a right to resent
the word
it,
Negro is used to denote my race. I resent that.
For the answering question.
Although Young stated at the outset he intended to testify, up until this point he had not answered a pertinent question put to him by Taverner. Instead, he tried repeatedly to drag the committee into a discussion of racial issues. He brought in the name of a former committee member, Congressman John Rankin.
Mr. Potter, Congressman Rankin was one of the foremost and earliest members of this committee.
We're not here to discuss Congressman Rankin. We're here to find out the extent of communist activities in this area.
I'm here
to testify.
You're
in a position where you can help and aid, if you will. But the attitude you're taking certainly is not conducive to such an investigation.
I'm here to aid in any fight against un-American activities. I consider un-American activities those of the Klan, the denial of the right to vote of Negroes all over the South. I consider un-American activities really white communities.
And that I will join you. And at the same time, certainly a member of the Communist Party is a person who carries on an un-American activity.
Do you consider the activities of the Communist Party as un-American?
I consider the activities of this committee, as it cites people for reputedly being communists, as an un-American activity.
Your answer is not responsive. The question is asked you, do you regard the activities of the Communist Party as un-American? Let's have an answer to that, please.
I am not in a position to answer that question.
Well, are you acquainted with any of the activities of the Communist Party in the city of Detroit?
I've made it clear.
Aid the committee and, as you suggested a while ago, you would like to do?
I thought to make it clear that I consider any questions that deal with my political beliefs or with the beliefs of people that I may or may not have been associated with a violation of my rights under the Fifth Amendment and an invasion of the privacy guaranteed me under the First Amendment. That is my position.
I asked you no question regarding your own individual views. I asked you if you knew of any activities of the Communist Party in this community which might be of some assistance to this committee in its investigation of un-American activities, which I understood from your statement you would like to do.
You have me mixed up with a stool pigeon, sir. You have some here and you're paying them.
I've never heard of anybody stooling on the Boy Scouts.
I was a member of that organization.
I don't think they're proud of it today.
I'll let the scouts decide that.
I think they would.
Jackson, a question.
So I have several questions. I assume, Mr. Young, that you believe in peace.
You believe in peace?
I do.
I'm for peace, too.
Do you believe that it is possible for, in the present instance, the conflict between the Soviet Union and the United States to work out a just and lasting peace at the conference table?
I hope that it is.
Do you feel that it is possible for the United States and the Soviet Union to coexist side by side in the same world?
If you mean by that, do I hope that the United States and the Soviet Union will not go to war? And that's the other side of that question.
Do you believe in a more positive manner that it is possible for the United States and the Soviet Union to exist side by side in a peaceful world?
I've indicated that I fervently hope that that is possible.
Well, I'm sure that we're all in full agreement on that point. However, Mr. Stalin has said that it is inconceivable that the Soviet Union and the United States shall long exist side by side in the same world. I think that is one of the very many clear warnings that we've had as to the ultimate goal of communism. That attack is going on today on a dozen different fronts, some of it armed force, some of it economic, some of it political, some of it social. I've frequently expressed the opinion, I want to express it again, that I feel that anyone who takes up the cudgels of the Communist Party today or lends any aid and assistance to the Communist Party in this country, in light of what has developed over the course of the past 2 or 3 years, is in effect wielding a bayonet as efficiently as a communist soldier in Korea. Is there any portion of that with which you could agree?
I will say that I am taking up the cudgel of the right for full equality now, not five years from now, for my people.
Of course, there's been
Are the cudgels that I am taking up. Now, I don't know when you say anybody, if you are broadly inferring me or not.
I'm not inferring anything. I'm asking you for your opinion on that particular thing.
Well, I was just asking what you were inferring.
As far as the war and the fight against fascism is concerned, there's been more sacrifice made by the people at this table, probably, than by the majority of the witnesses who have appeared before the committee and refused to answer on the grounds that they, of the Fifth Amendment, and the fact that they're fighting fascism. Congressman Potter here made a tremendous sacrifice in the fight against fascism.
The questioning of Coleman Young continued for several minutes more without adding to the committee's fund of knowledge of communism in Detroit. From Young, the committee turned to William R. Hood, since 1948, recording secretary of Ford Local 600 of the United Auto Workers Union. After establishing Hood's identity, the committee referred to Hood's position as an official of the UAW.
As the recording secretary of the CIO, Local 600, UAW, I seem to have it backwards. Were you required to sign a non-communist affidavit?
I was, counsel.
Did you sign it?
I did, sir. For four consecutive years, I've been elected, and I hope to sign it again. I hope I'll be elected.
In view of that, may I ask whether at the time you signed the affidavit, you were a member of the Communist Party?
I was not a member of the Communist Party.
Have you been a member at any time since the time you first signed that?
I have not been a member of the Communist Party from the time I first signed it.
The committee has information indicating that in 1947, you were issued a 1947 card, number 68126, of the Communist Party.
Well, it's a damn lie. Counsel, will you please phrase your question again?
Would you repeat the question?
When you say you refuse to answer for reasons of your own, what are you referring to? Are you referring to the Fifth Amendment or some other reason?
I'm referring to the Fifth Amendment. These are all my own reasons. Fifth I presume I'm not a lawyer, but I say the Fifth Amendment.
And then, if I understand your testimony correctly, you denied that you have been a member of the Communist Party any time within the past 4 years, which is the period of time while you have been recording secretary of the UAW. But you refuse to answer whether or not you have ever been a member of the Communist Party.
The morning session today produced only two witnesses, both allied with the trade union movement in Detroit. Coleman Young refused to discuss communism on any score. William Hood would say that he's not a communist now, but he balked when Counsel Taverner tried to learn if he'd ever been a communist. The next transcribed broadcast of highlights from the House Un-American Activities Committee hearings in Detroit will be heard at 11:30 tonight. These programs are prepared in the WJR newsroom and are brought to you as a public service of the Goodwill Station. This is Joseph Heinlein speaking.